on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Thursday night in Lansing, Michael Cohen, James Platy on the board, 1320 WILS at 6:45. So imagine using business techniques to help families revitalize and reinforce their bonds. It's something that you may have never considered, but my next guest says it's quite effective. Leslie G is a senior vice president at ROI Communication and the co-author of the new book, The Family ROI Experience, a step-by-step guide to realizing your best family, which you can find on Amazon.com. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. ROI, that's return on investment, I'm guessing?
Yes, it absolutely is. It's a financial term, and it really just applies to how businesses, you know, they carefully select what they're going to invest in order to get the best return. And I think our families can equally do the same thing.
Well, one thing businesses do is certainly lay workers off that aren't doing their job. Although, can you do that with a family member? Is that possible?
I know sometimes people feel like they want to get rid of their teenagers, but no, that's not something that we advocate in Family ROI.
So when we talk about using business techniques to bring families closer together to improve the family relationship, how exactly does that work, and which kind of techniques are most effective?
Yeah, so it really boils down to four basic practices we like to use with families. And these are the same ones that we use with our clients. So I'm a management consultant. I help businesses with their strategic planning, things like that. And we've tried to simplify this for families because they really do work to help strengthen the family. And the first one is communication. It's like we view communication as the oxygen of any family. Just as in a business, right, you need to make sure that your team members are all communicating with one another, listening to each other, understanding what's going on. The same thing with the family. So there's some really basic techniques that families can use to ensure that they're communicating on a regular basis. The second area is culture. So every organization has a culture, right? No matter where you work, you can probably think about, what's the culture of my company? In the same way, a family has a culture. And many times, it's left to its own devices if you don't purposely and intentionally decide, what kind of culture do I want my family to have? You know, who are we as a family? And the third area is mission, purpose, and vision. So really strong organizations know who they are, know where they're going. The same thing with a family, having a clear purpose. Why are we even together as a family, and where are we headed? And then the last one is practices. So with the best companies, they know how to keep things running on clockwork. The same thing with a family. It's like a small business. How can you live day to day in a smooth and effective way?
Interesting. When it comes to mission and asking why we're together, I guess the answer is there's no other choice, right?
So, well, you know, that's so funny. I think a lot of families, they think, yeah, we were born together. We're just thrown together. But we really challenge families to think, like, why are you together? What's the purpose for living life together? And it's amazing what people come up with when they finally really ask themselves that question, whether it's just to be there for one another. It's a very simple one that we often hear. To, we want to support each other to live healthy, happy, and fulfilling lives. Mm-hmm. To, you know, a whole range of things.
I'm talking to Leslie G. She's a senior vice president at ROI Communications, the co-author of the new book, The Family ROI Experience, a step-by-step guide to realizing your best family. Find that at Amazon.com. Well, Leslie, part of the issue is in a family, everyone has a different viewpoint and a different opinion, and everyone feels that they're justified to think and feel the way they do. Obviously, in a workplace, you have a boss that rules and basically tells you what needs to be done. So should a family have a single person that kind of dictates how things are broken down?
Yeah, I mean, I think every family, every person in a family has a role to play. And certainly, if there's children in the family, if there are parents who are there to guide them to be safe, to be healthy, things like that. So there are certain things that parents have to do. For many areas, though, I think that families don't realize that children have a role, too. Children can contribute to the family in many different ways. And having that explicitly discussed can really help to smooth out the family life. You know, we've had kids come to these family ROI workshops, and they are just amazed at the end of it. They didn't realize that the family is kind of like a team, and they get the concept of team. You know, they're on little league teams. They're on different sporting teams, and they get that everyone plays a role. They never thought about it that way as a family, and so it really opens their eyes. We had one family that, you know, they look at hot spots in their family. Where are things not going well? And one family discovered that they were having trouble with family dinners. You know, every night the parents would come home, they're exhausted. What are we going to have for dinner? They would go out or they just order stuff in. Then they finally realized that, hey, our 13-year-old son loves to cook. And he, after having this discussion, decided that he would start to help with the family dinners. And ever since then, it just simplified their life completely. It gave this teenage boy a chance to contribute to the family, and it helped solve a family problem.
Wow.
So there are so many ways that, you know, having this explicit discussion can help smooth out a family.
A teenage boy that loves to cook. Now, that has got to be a rarity. So what about the HR department? I mean, who's going to take care of that? Because really, is there a point where it's not clear who really has the right perspective on how things are going, especially when there's a heated argument? I mean, obviously, in a business environment, you have the HR department there to kind of set the rules, enforce them, and make sure that conflicts are resolved appropriately.
Right. Yeah, excellent, excellent point. That's why there's two things in the program that are really important. The first one, as I mentioned, is communication, right? So if you don't have a basic way of communicating within the family, you're not going to be able to resolve any issues that come up. So we offer a very, very simple approach where people are really encouraged on how to express what they need and how to listen to one another's needs and in order to resolve them. We also talk about basic communication tools and practices. So how does a family even talk about issues that come up? When does that happen? You know, we find that a lot of families are finding that the family dinner is a good one. Some people like having family meetings, just like you have meetings at work. But here's a really interesting one that I heard from a family recently, and they told me that their family communication tool is carpooling. And they make sure, the parents make sure that they are the ones who are driving their kids to and from various places, because that's where their kids open up. That's when they get the best dialogue going. That's when they hear all of the conversation. Another family told me that the best communication tool they invested in is a pool table. Hmm. They have a pool table that they bought a few years ago, and when they gather their family around that pool table, it just gets the kids to open up. They have great conversations around it, and it's just a non-traditional way for them to make sure that they're staying connected.
So when you look at this in such an organized fashion, do you think that most families in the U.S. are run haphazardly?
You know, the feedback that we've been getting is that there are a lot of families who say, yeah, I get it, I do this. And then there are a lot of families who say, I wish I could. And I think it's just a lack of awareness that society pressures encourage us to invest most of our time at work. But what if we could invest the same amount of energy at home? What a difference would that make?
Yeah, I wonder, though, what should be done with a child or family member that isn't pulling their weight, isn't cooperating, isn't trying to be part of, as you say, the culture and the family in the way that maybe the rest of the family would like them to be? I mean, that is one distinction where it's very different from a workplace, since you can't really address it in a permanent way the way you can in a work environment. So how do families deal with that?
That's right. That's right. Well, I think a big part of it is I hear from so many parents who are frustrated by, let's say, a teenager who doesn't comply with the rules of the family. And many times I ask them, well, how was your child engaged in coming up with those rules? How was your child engaged in the discussion? And a lot of times they're not. You know, it's just the pressures of today. There's not enough time to talk. It just takes longer to get everyone on the same page. But really, we have found that that's the best way to do it. When everyone is involved up front in the agreements of the family, in the traditions of the family, when they're all feeling like they're a part of it and they have a stake in it, the outcome is so much different. Even just taking something simple like traditions. Sometimes, you know, you have a family tradition that you just kind of go along with. Well, what we have seen families do at our workshops is they've actually, every single person in the family talks about what traditions they want to start, stop, or continue. And it's just amazing how giving people a voice in a family can make all the difference.
Well, communication, certainly, whether it's in a relationship or in a family, is central. In terms of actually creating an environment that promotes the best kind of communication, do you think generally a family should do that all together, or should, and we have about a minute left, or should the communication happen maybe in subsets typically?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's both. Clearly, if there's two people running a household, let's say that's a more traditional family, the communication there has to be, you know, spot on, right? But certainly, I think there's, just like in any company, there's going to be different communications between all the different family members that need to happen. And so a family needs to find out what's going to work for them. Sometimes it's date nights with one child. You know, sometimes it's date nights with the two people leading the household, things like that.
Leslie G., Senior Vice President at ROI Communications. Check out her new book, The Family ROI Experience, a step-by-step guide to realizing your best family. That's at Amazon.com. Leslie, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much, Mike.